Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting in studio. Juan Posada on the buttons. He is our producer, which we are very grateful for. This is why everything works correctly, because Juan is in charge. We have Mr. Jim Spencer here as well, guarding the door, making sure no one breaks in. And I have our good friend, I say our because I'm used to having Dave here as well, but we are sans Dave, and our good friend, Father Brian O'Brien.
Love it. Great to be here.
How are you?
It's been a little while.
It's been too long.
I'm a long-time listener, so I always listen. I always know what's going on, but I live 70 miles away.
Right.
So,
and I think you're the most...
I don't just stop by
anymore. Most frequent guest.
Is that true?
I'm pretty positive.
Come
you...
on.
I would imagine...
Father Sean Donovan?
No, he's only been on like twice.
Oh, he should be on more. He's so smart.
He's awesome. Well, he was supposed to be on last week, and...
He's a better priest than me. You should have twice as much. The ones he's on
are epic.
Are so interesting.
Yes. The Winged
Hussar.
If
you've not heard those, go back and listen to anything with Father Sean Donovan. He brings it.
The thing is awesome. The Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma just have dynamite priests.
We got some good dudes.
We have some really good priests. So
we're trying.
So what's going on? How are you?
Life is good. I live
in Stillwater.
I'm holding it down on the western front of the Diocese of Tulsa. So Tulsa is we're a diocese that covers the eastern third of the state of Oklahoma, and Stillwater is the western edge.
Mm-hmm.
We're holding it down. We're keeping the weirdos from Oklahoma City out. I'm just kidding. I love them. They're great. it's awesome. It's awesome. So I'm a parish priest. I ran a high school for 10 years, and now for the last 4 years have been a parish priest. And it's awesome. It's what I was ordained to do. And it's a good life. It's hard sometimes. It can be challenging. It can be busy. It can be, all kinds of things. But, man, it's just so... when you're just in it, it's awesome just to be a part of people's lives. I mean, just in the last week in our parish, we've had two deaths, so I'm with one family, and Father Robert Duck, my associate pastor, is ministering to the other family.
Awesome. Another awesome priest.
We've had baptisms. We've had weddings. I think we're going to be 5 new babies in 7 days.
Yes.
Which I think will be a parish record.
Yes.
Of prolific births. But anyway, just all of that. And then, you know, just confessions. And well, actually, one of the great, one of the real, we're seeing a lot of fruit of people coming back to their faith. I don't have, this is not a total statistic. My guess is we're seeing somebody return to the faith about every 10 days.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you track that? I mean, like, it's how just, do you guess? It's
purely anecdotal. I mean, the people that I'm seeing who, you know, it's been, Father, I need to go to confession. It's been 40 years.
Heavy.
Because we just started RCIA. And so in RCIA, you get a lot of, you know, sort of new people from other Christian faiths, people who didn't grow up in any church wanting to be Catholic. But mm-hmm. then you also get people who say, gosh, I think it's time for me to
get back.
Time for me to come back. And then there's more to come. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people everywhere. But where I live in Stillwater, which is Payne County, there's just a lot of people who grew up Catholic, and for a whole variety of reasons, have kind of drifted. Mm-hmm. And we are making a concerted effort to bring them back, to do whatever we can to meet their needs and bring them back.
Yes.
And it's working. There's a lot more to do. Holy cow. It never ends. But it's all good.
Well, I mean, that's the goal, right? It is to evangelize 100%
of
Eastern Oklahoma.
I say to my people sometimes, they don't believe me, but I don't have any stats to back it up, but I say the majority of Catholics in Payne County have never been to our church.
Mm-hmm. Your church is beautiful.
And people are like, what? Like, that's no way. And I'm saying, the number of people I meet who grew up Catholic, I meet them all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that number is greater than the number of people that we see on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got nothing to back it up. Really, it's just to motivate people, get people off their butts and
actually evangelize.
And that's our goal. I mean, the mission, if our parish has a mission statement, the goal of our parish, our parish exists to evangelize Payne County, Oklahoma for Jesus Christ and his church.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
That's what we do.
I love it. I mean, that's kind of like our goal with the Catholic radio station, right? Is to evangelize everybody in the listening radius.
Reach as many people as you can. And it takes a lot of different forms. Mm-hmm. Kids and teenagers and college students are being ministered to by Father Kerry Wakulich at St. John Catholic Student Center.
Another great priest.
So he's actually building a new church. You can look up his new church, buildingsaints.com is his website. They are building a gorgeous new church that's about a year and a half out, and it's going to be
Stillwater
awesome.
Is going to have, for as small of a town as Stillwater is, it's going to have two of the most beautiful churches in Eastern Oklahoma
in about 6 years. I mean, 6 years between builds.
Yeah,
it's a great place to be. Oklahoma State University is there, so it's a, you know, it's young, it's vibrant, a lot of families, you mm-hmm. know, a lot of retired folks,
yeah.
Professors and farmers and so we got it all, and it's awesome. We have a pretty decent size Hispanic population, so a lot of ministry happening in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging in its own way, language barriers.
Yo hablo español.
Hablo español cada domingo.
Sweet.
We have Spanish mass every Sunday at 1 o'clock. I'd actually say probably half of our baptisms are in Spanish.
Really?
Yep.
And you have the best baptism camera known. Known to the Catholic
it's
Church.
It's awesome. There's this, yeah, you can like go up above in the choir loft and
shoot straight down. So you get to, yeah.
Those are cool.
Okay, so we're men of tradition.
Yeah, we got a beverage.
We have a beverage this evening. Pikesville Straight Rye Whiskey. Now, this whiskey is 110 proof, so go easy, Padre. It's which, by the way, you don't like when people say Padre. I just
realized that's so funny.
I said that, and then I realized you didn't like that. You don't like that.
I just think it's funny when people call priests Padre, and they're both like the whitest dudes on the planet.
I think I do it as a more of a term of informality.
Anyway,
this rye whiskey, which I've only had taken one sip, believe it or not.
I'm going to smell it.
Was a rye of the year. Number two world whiskey of the year in Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible. In a San Francisco World Spirits competition, 2015 double gold. So,
I don't know what any of that means, but
it's award winning.
Smells good.
Okay, so we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers. Cheers, Jim.
See, I am a listener.
Yeah.
Cheers, Jim.
Cheers.
Juan.
Do you have
any... Salud.
Do you have any nose tasting notes? Because you always laugh at us.
The last time... Oh, my gosh. I just love it when you guys make up words. It's kind of lemony, woody, maple-y.
You just add E-Y.
You just take a word and add a Y to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of microphone-y.
Microphone is more whiskey-y.
It's like whiskey. It's kind of whiskey.
It smells like whiskey.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. It's 110 proof, so it's going to have a bite. It's going to have a little bit of a bite. It's going to have a little pepper bite.
Okay.
Like it'll kind of get you excited.
Hello.
Yeah. It's a rye whiskey. A lot of rye whiskeys are just more pow in your face.
Everything I know, I learned from you guys.
Okay,
so you know.
We've been having rye kind
before
of
you,
a rye
before
streak.
You had a show, I knew nothing, and now I know slightly more than nothing.
That's
which
our
is
goal,
better
which
than
is,
nothing.
This is the goal of the Catholic Man Show. I take people from knowing nothing to slightly more than nothing.
Yes. I am still on a journey.
We are this.
Wow, that's good though.
It is good.
I like it.
It's strong. It is.
What is it? Does it say like what it's supposed to?
I don't think these have tasting notes. So on the nose, to me, it's a like burnt caramel, a little bit of floral,
kind of flowery, caramely,
mm-hmm.
bitey.
I was going to say,
ooh, it's like apple pie,
apple pie.
Plums is what you have.
Plummy,
one?
Yeah.
A little bit of apple pie.
Kinda really. Like, mm-hmm. You're so refined.
Yeah,
it's
that's
good,
nice.
Though.
It's
that's
nice.
Really good.
It is nice.
It's really good.
Father, there's a lot of people who always wonder why we drink on this show. You've listened to the show
enough.
Why don't you explain?
I like that you guys do it because...
And you're not even a drinker, really.
No, not really. Not really. I like it because, I mean, I think especially where I live, Stillwater, you know, is kind of a college culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you go, a couple weeks ago, I went to the Oklahoma State, Missouri State game, the home opener. You know, and you're walking around, and I like to go to the tailgates because I see my parishioners and I see like friends I had from Tulsa before I moved to Stillwater. I love seeing people, good food, but there's a weird culture around drinking. Anyway, and so I think you guys to model moderation, whereas in our culture, so many people are. If I'm drinking, I'm drinking 10. And it's like, that's no good.
No.
So you guys model a different way, a moderate way. And we need that in the church. And in the world, and in Stillwater.
Boom. Here with Father Brian O'Brien from Stillwater, Oklahoma. We're going to talk about priests.
All right.
On the other side of the break. We'll be right back. I want to give a big shout out to Jonathan Conrad over at the Catholic Word Worker. Jonathan started his ministry with one sole purpose in mind, and that was get quality crafted rosaries into Catholics' hands. He's been doing it now so well that he has opened up a storefront. He has a brick-and-mortar store. If you go to CatholicWoodworker.com, you can check out the whole facility. We're really proud of you, Jonathan. I remember when you first started this whole thing. We're thankful for your friendship. We're thankful for your willingness to support the Catholic Man Show. If you guys go to CatholicWoodworker.com, use the promo code TCMS, you get 10% off all of your purchases. We just want to thank you, Jonathan, for your love of our mother and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the good work you're doing to grow his kingdom. Cheers. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Missing Dave tonight. He's not able to join us this evening. So Father Brian O'Brien from Stillwater, Oklahoma. He is a co-host of the Pastors of Payne County podcast, radio show. He also is the pastor at St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church in Stillwater, Oklahoma, one of the most beautiful churches in eastern Oklahoma, both inside and out.
Also, the people are beautiful.
That's what I was really kind of meaning on the inside.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. But I think the church is more beautiful inside than outside.
Which is saying something because the outside is very pretty.
In my humble opinion. Nobody's asking.
So, and this is also one of the first times I brought us in to the second segment of the Catholic Man Show.
History.
Yeah, being made right now, tonight.
Amazing.
So
love it.
Okay, so I'm really excited about tonight, Father, because here's the thing. When you talk about priests on the show and there's not a priest involved, there's a lot of speculation that happens. A lot of people either really dislike or take our words yep. out of context.
Do you get hate mail?
We used to get a lot more hate mail than we do now.
Oh, good. The hate mail people have just started listening to other people.
Well, Dave continually says on the show, if you send hate mail, we do not care. We just don't care. And so I think it has really discouraged a lot of trolls from sending hate mail. He just says,
I've heard him say that.
Yeah,
it's like,
I just don't care. So we used to a lot more than we do now. But so when we talk about like getting to know your parish priest a little bit better, which is the topic this evening, it's good to have an actual priest involved because there's priests, shocker, are human beings. So there are positives
it's
and
true.
Negatives. There are strengths and weaknesses. And so when you take a well-balanced view of a priest, it's good to have a priest involved. So thank you for jumping into the topic.
No, I think it's an important topic because I think especially in the Catholic world, so much of what happens in a parish, for better or for worse, revolves around the priests. You can't have a parish without a priest. You can't have the Eucharist without a priest. So in the Catholic world, priests are very important. Priests pray. They pray.
Hopefully.
And they play a very important role. If you have a really strong, holy priest at your parish, the odds of your parish growing and doing well by all sort of different various metrics, it's likely to go up. And
right.
if you have a priest that isn't that into it, or
it's a dying parish,
isn't particularly striving for holiness, doesn't really call his people to a better way of life, to conversion, then your parish, the odds of your parish kind of thriving, they go down.
Right. And how I envision, so I go to St. Benedict here in Broken Arrow. We have Father Brian Brooks and Father Porter as our priests. And they, like, I look at them as not only spiritual fathers, but also as, like, team players. Like, we're on a team together. I want to help you, and, you help me. Because we're here, like we said at the last segment, we're here to evangelize. I mean, that's what Christ calls us to do. And so
make disciples.
Right. And so the better I understand where a priest is coming from, and the better the priest understands where I'm coming from, the more effective we can be in evangelizing.
Yeah, no doubt. So I think, if you look at, so everybody listening to this, if you're a Catholic, you have a parish priest or maybe more than one. And maybe you think your priest is the greatest thing ever. You think if your pastor ever got moved, you would be sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't really know your pastor or your associate pastor very well. So you're kind of, maybe they're new. Maybe they just came in this summer.
Invite them over for dinner.
Maybe they're tough to get to know. Or maybe you have like a bad relationship with your priest. Maybe they said something that offended you. Maybe they've ignored you. Maybe they, I don't know. And there's all kinds of things. But I think that's kind of the first thing is that priests, it sounds trite, but like priests are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially in the United States, here in Oklahoma, our priests were... I say this in like the most like loving way, but like we're a weird bunch. I look around. It's so great. I look around when we have like a priest gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be 60, 75 of us like in a room. And I look around and I'm like, if we were not all priests, there is no way we would be hanging out right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we are. We are priests. And so we do hang out and we do love each other. And we don't all, we don't always see eye to eye just like everybody else. There's theological differences, liturgical styles differences. We come from a lot of different places. A third of our priests in the Diocese of Tulsa are from outside the United States. And then even the guys, and I'm one of them, I grew up in Houston, Texas, Kingwood, Texas. That's my home parish, Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Friends of Jesus Catholic Church in Kingwood, Texas.
That is the most ridiculously long name
of a Catholic
Church.
It's awesome. I really like saying the whole thing. Most people just call it St. Martha's. But I moved to, you know, I moved to Oklahoma after college and fell in love with it and stayed, and here we are. But I'll bet a third of our priests are from another country. A third of our priests are not from Oklahoma. And a third of our priests are like native
Oklahomans.
Native grown. So even just that, you're going to have a variety of, you know, of kind of styles and, you know, generationally, you know, so a lot of people are like, oh, I hope we get, you know, a good young priest who's, you know, traditional or who's formed in today's seminaries. I'm just, you know, I don't want a priest who was formed back in the 80s or the
70s. I mean, that's really,
and you know, and I get where people are coming from with that, but it's also not. Those kinds of stereotypes are not 100% true.
Sure. One of the most orthodox, holiest men that I know, Father Monsignor Gallus,
yeah,
was, you know, in seminary in the days where there was a little chaotic.
Yeah, and there was a lot of turmoil. And
sure.
So I think that's the first thing, that trying to understand your priest, understand where, you know, where he's from. Being a priest in the United States is very different than being a priest in India or Nigeria or Mexico. And so maybe your priest is from one of those places to understand, okay, what, you know, and that can be in, so, you know, sort of in conversation. But we are on the same team. And so I think for parishioners to try as best they can to try to understand where their priests are coming from. And then hopefully the priest reciprocates that. But it's a lot more difficult. You know, my parish is 900 families. It's very difficult to know all 900.
Sure.
Plus new people are coming in all the time and people move and... So it's more difficult on the priest, but I think there are little steps that people can take. So maybe you don't know your priest very well, to take that step to invite him over, invite him for coffee. There's all kinds of ways in which you can get to know your parish priest, and I think that's a very good first step to try to better understand your parish priest. Where is he from? What's his life story? Yeah, like, what's his life story? Is he a We have a number of priests here that are converts to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool. They're so interesting.
Right. Father Brian Brooks is
one. Yeah, your pastor.
He's one of them. Yeah.
It's so interesting just to hear those stories. So anyway, that would be my first little piece of advice to better understand your priest. Where are they from? What makes them tick? How's their family? Mm. Are their parents still alive? Do they have brothers and sisters? They have nieces and nephews? Those kinds of... Where'd they go to college? Where'd they go to seminary? Those kinds of things can be... just very helpful, where you sort of humanize your priest. I think we've done a lot of damage, and I was talking to a priest friend earlier in the week about it. We've done a lot of damage by kind of over sentimentalizing and idealizing priests. I think this is part of the scandals of the last 25 years or so. Part of it came out of, well, he's a priest. A priest couldn't do that.
Right.
And it's like, well, no, he could, because... he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
If a man can do it, then a priest can do it.
Right.
You know, good or bad. So I think I think we like to put our priests on a pedestal. I'm just not sure it's always very helpful.
No, I agree.
To the priest or to the people.
I think, and I highly recommend, if you're out there and you're a dad, if you're a family guy, to invite them over for dinner. For one, because it gives you the opportunity that you just said, but two, it let your children see their spiritual father outside of the church building. It makes them feel more comfortable just around being like, priests are just a part of my life. And so it gives them the opportunity to say, like, oh, well, we just have dinner with our priest sometimes. He's our spirit. You know, he's a spiritual father.
They may not make that connection,
but having them a part of the life of growing up is a big part of the Catholic culture within your domestic church.
I love seeing parishioners at the grocery store.
Oh yeah.
They're like, even like older,
it's like fish out of the water.
They're just like, whoa.
He's here.
And they kind of stare at you like down the aisle.
Whoa. Do you ever get non-Catholics that run up to you and be like, Father, I know you're a parish priest. Will you please pray for such and such?
Sure,
like,
sure.
And just like,
yeah.
They just know you're a man of God.
Yep.
I have a crisis going on.
Yep. And then everybody wants to know what's in your shopping cart.
Oh.
They don't ask, but everyone's looking. Like, oh, frozen pizzas.
Oh, some bacon. Oh,
turkey.
Yeah.
They're very curious.
That's hilarious.
But anyway, it humanizes. I mean, I like to go in Stillwater. I like to go to sporting events. One, because I like sports. And it's entertaining and it's mm-hmm. cool. But also, that's where the people are,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you go to where they are. I mean, it always, always, always leads to meeting new people and conversations. And so those kinds of human things that humans do, priests also do.
Yeah.
I think it's also helpful to know that your priests are, that we're fallen. That priests go to confession. We don't get to go to ourselves. We have to, right. like, just like you, we have to find another priest. Now, I have all the priests' cell phones. That makes it a little easier.
Right.
I can just call them and stop by. But we go to confession, too. When we're hearing your confessions, I think I'm a pretty decent confessor because I go.
Right.
I know what it's like to be where you are.
Yeah. So when we get back, I'm going to ask you, what's the biggest misconception you think that people have about priests, their parish priest? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Here with Father Brian O'Brien. Father, on the other side of this, or the last segment, not on this other side of the break, but on the last segment, I asked you, I was going to say, what is the biggest misconception that you think that parishioners have about their priest?
I think number one that comes to my mind is that we have all the answers. And I say that in two respects. One is like theologically, that because it's a question that you have,
mm-hmm.
that your priest automatically knows the answer right off the top of his head.
A question that you've been mulling over for the last, you know,
yeah,
3 months,
right.
and like doing research on.
And so you roll up right after Mass and you say, Father, I've been wondering, you know, how many people are in purgatory exactly?
Right.
And then... I don't know.
Even if you studied that, you'd
right.
be able to know.
Or, you know, something like that, you know, right. or some kind of obscure. But anyway, so I think that's one thing. But then the other is, you know, part of, in today's modern world, the parish priests in the United States, parish priests are like kind of CEOs, too. I mean, there's a managerial and a business side of it,
mm-hmm.
that... we're supposed to learn on the job. We don't really get it in seminary. We really don't. The idea is in seminary, you're going to learn, you're going to be formed theologically, pastorally, intellectually, but we don't get a lot of the business side of it, the finance side of it. And so there's a sense, I think sometimes, well, he's a pastor. Well, he must know how to build
a church,
you know, an addition onto the school. Well, no, do not assume. Maybe it's because he's young. Maybe this is the first time he's been a pastor. He's never done it before. Or even if he did, I majored in theology and political science in college, mm-hmm. and then got a degree in education and then went to seminary. Like where in there did I learn accounting?
Right.
And so that's where I think where people can be, of a big help to their pastors. Especially if you bring some skill. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you have a, you know, this kind of communication skill that came into your life. And so, like, I mean, I know when COVID hit and a lot of things went online,
mm-hmm.
I am betting that you got a call from your pastor that said, hey, Adam, can you help me?
Yes. We do actually quite a few parishes throughout the diocese.
Yeah. And you did. Mm-hmm. Right. So thinking about your own kind of gifts and talents, we talk about it in our parish as like a stewardship way of life, time, talent, treasure. What do I bring to this parish? Maybe that nobody else brings. So we just had like this past weekend, we had our the chair of our finance council got up and after Mass and just gave a little report,
mm-hmm.
on the state of the parish finances. And he knows his stuff. He's a banker.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stud. He's like totally awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that he brings to the table that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes there's a sense of like, yeah, sort of magically at ordination, these certain skill sets come into your life. And it's just simply not true.
But this is the whole team aspect, right? This is the whole like, hey, in order to evangelize, I need your talents. I need your talent.
Totally.
My talents.
Yep.
To be effective.
And I think the smaller the parish, the more... the need goes up.
Sure.
You know, so I have a very talented staff who do a lot, and also parishioners who do a lot. But the smaller the parish, the more that falls on the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
There's pastors learning how to make a web page.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
They've never done it before, but they're doing it. They're making web pages.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that good, but maybe you do know how to do it. Anyway, so those kinds of things, I think that's a big misconception that somehow because someone is a priest or a pastor, or because the bishop has given them some major responsibility, that they automatically know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not true.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
So, in this episode, right before you came, you emailed out a select group of priest friends that will go unnamed, but about this very topic. From all over the country. Okay.
Yep.
What were some of the things they said? How do we know our parish priest better?
So I said to them, I'm going on the Catholic Man show to try to help people better understand their parish priest. So there were two sort of themes that came out. Number one, it was just the human aspect. We are human. We have good days and we have bad days. I think there's a lot of mercy that's required on either side. You know, I mean, I know I've been in, you know, where I'm, even if I'm like watching, if I'm watching a mass on TV or I see some homily somebody wrote and I think, oh man, that wasn't very good, man. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea where that priest just came from,
mm-hmm.
or what his week was like. Did he have four funerals and three weddings and a quinceañera and six baptisms?
Mm-hmm.
And if you did, then where was the time to really prepare a really good homily? Mm-hmm. It's not there. So I think a lot of mercy that we're human. Your priests are very human. The other was, and this is just a kind of a very practical tip, and that is the 5 to 10 minutes before and after Mass are the worst times to try to do business with your priest.
Okay.
The 5 to 10 minutes before Mass, because we're typically preparing, we're, you know, getting things in order, making sure things are ready, hopefully praying,
right,
to celebrate the Mass, you know, reverently and worthily. And then Mass begins. But what happens a lot of times, and I don't blame people. It's not, I think it's something I think the listeners of this show are really into their faith. They want to be of help. They want to evangelize. They want to make their parish awesome. So not that you like ignore your priest. You can say hi. If you, mm-hmm. if you're bringing somebody maybe to Mass or a new family member or somebody's from out of town, by all means, go up and say, hey, Father, this is my friend Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He's visiting from Tulsa. And I just wanted you to meet him. Great, 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 great. But it's when there's a desire of, oh my gosh, there's the priest, and I've been meaning to email him or text him or call him to set up a baptism and here's my shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Mass starts in 3 minutes.
Right.
It creates, on the part of the priest, it creates kind of an awkward situation because I want to help you. Right? You want your baby baptized, and I want your baby baptized as soon as humanly possible. But that particular time. And then the other is after Mass, because, you know, I mean, you all know what happens in parishes, right? The song ends, or in some cases, like before the song ends, you know, people don't do that. Yeah. People are coming out the door and not, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is for us. It's probably 90% of the people in my parish. I only see them on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They have lives, and so they're not at daily Mass, they're not at the Bible study, they're at work,
mm-hmm.
or they take care of their elderly parents or all kinds of reasons. And so that kind of 5, 10, 15 minutes after Mass for me as a priest are critical. I have typically my head on a swivel. I'm looking for, you know, so we have in our narthex, kind of the lobby area, we have this like table. We call it the welcome table. And on that table is a bunch of stuff. And it's like stuff for new people.
Mm-hmm.
It's rosaries and how to pray the rosary and how to go to Mass and the parish bulletin and information about St. John's, the college ministry, new parish packet registration. If I see somebody standing there looking at that, I want to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to talk to them. And so if you, Adam, like majorly involved parishioner, who has access to me every other day of the week, comes up right at that time. It's not a great use of my time because I'm going to see you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And you got my cell phone, you got my email, whatever.
Right.
I think that's just something to be aware of. And so sometimes people get real turned off, you know, when you, if you come up to me and you're trying to tell me a joke.
Right.
Or you know, or tell,
cause it was
tell
really
me,
funny.
Tell me something. You know, and people get like homily feedback and that's good too. But you know, you're trying to do some kind
of
business.
Do you prefer homily feedback or not?
I don't mind. Cause I think a lot of times, especially if people, I mean, you get a lot of like good homily, Father. My favorite is when they say good homily and it was the deacon that preached. That's my favorite. but when, you know, so some people, I think
Father, it was your best homily I've ever
Father,
heard.
You just bring it every Sunday. Really? Cause I was the deacon. Okay. We're wearing the same color though. So I could see how you get that confused. Although he's a foot shorter than me. Okay. And 75 years old. Okay. I like that immediate feedback because sometimes people are really moved. You know, you said something and it really struck them. That's a good. I feel like that's a good use of my time right after Mass to hear from them. Wow. Okay. How that really struck you. But it's the business that can be done in an email or a phone call. Anyway, that's just one of those little things that I think a lot of priests really struggle with because you want to help. You want to, you know, do that business. But those critical, because those people are walking out the door.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that only come to Mass like once a month or twice a year.
Right.
And man, they're walking out the door and you're telling me a joke. Oh.
Right.
It's rough. Anyway, that was definitely a theme of my brethren. One of the other ones that I thought was really good was the way it was expressed was you never know where your priest just came from. So what happens in the course of a day, a lot of things can happen. And this is true in families too. And so it's not exclusive to priests, but in the course of a day, I mean, I've done it. I've had a funeral. I go to the cemetery, I come back and I baptize a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that all happens in about 2 hours. And so when I come back for a baptism, I'm probably maybe a little tired, maybe a little solemn. Try to, you know, be joyful, but I'm generally a happy person, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
If I come out of a meeting and someone just said, you know, I'm really struggling in my marriage, right? That hurts. Sure. I mean, I'm glad to hear it. But then to go into a meeting right after that, where the expectation is you're going to be upbeat, and you just never know where your priest has just come from. So something to keep in mind.
Priests are human, basically.
Very.
All right, we'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Let's keep going though, because we have to record longer for one of the radio stations anyway. So let's keep going.
All right.
Are we still going? Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, cool. Well, that was a mess up on my. This is the whole part of like I go, Dave goes, I go, Dave goes. I know which segment we're in because I know who's bringing you in, and if I have to do it every time.
I didn't know.
I should have just asked you to bring us in.
I did not get a proper orientation.
I know. That was my fault. So let me throw one at you.
Go for it.
And I say this with a hesitation because I also know kind of the the crud that you have to deal with on the negative aspect.
Sure.
Like of people's, what they bring, like the complaints that they bring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
'Cause a lot of people will be like, when you open it up, like, hey, what can we do better? They get on a soapbox and they start talking about things that are like absolutely do not really have anything to do with what you're, the feedback that you're trying to get.
Yep.
It has to do with their personal experience 25 years ago. The priest, sure. You know, Father John said this and it just really upset me. And now we do this. And it like, and it's just like, okay, that is, thank you for contributing nothing. However, there are times where it feels as a parishioner, like it's intimidating also to bring up not criticism, but sure. Like critiques of,
yeah, to challenge your priest to be,
because there's also the piety there, being docile to your priest as well. But at the same time, it's like, hey, I think we should do this better. And I think I could bring that to the table.
Yep.
Or I don't think you should really say that.
Yep.
And there are times that it's very, it's very intimidating as a parishioner to do that to a priest. 'Cause it's the same way of like, listen, Dad, you shouldn't maybe drink that much, or maybe Dad, you shouldn't behave mm-hmm, that way in mm-hmm. public. That's not an easy
fraternal
conversation.
I mean, in the world, in, yeah, we call it fraternal correction,
right? But
how do you fraternally correct
a priest?
Yeah.
And that's very tough without, being offensive, one, but then also there've been times that maybe you've done it and it has backfired.
Yeah,
you
not well
said,
received.
Like, I really wish I just would not have brought that up.
Yep. So I think, I think everybody listening to this could look at their parish priest and say, I wish in this one, two, or seven things that he was different.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he was more like the last guy we had. I wish he was more like this particular saint who I like. You know, it seems like, wow, that parish, they have this going on and we don't.
Right.
So, you know, kind of that comparison sets in. So I would say a couple things. If you're going to go to your priest with something, number one is really to pray about it, really, and think it through, so that it's not emotional. It's not kind of in the moment. It's, you know, it's not right after Mass.
Right.
Even if it happened during the Mass, the priest did something, or take it home, pray about it. Is it really still bothering you the next day and the next day and the next day?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would put it in writing. I think a lot of us, you know, we express ourselves better in writing. We say what we want to say. When you get into like a one-on-one situation,
mm-hmm.
You start to trip over your words. But when you're writing, you choose. You write it, you crumple it up, you write a second draft. So you can really express exactly what you want to express. And then, you know, you can kind of send that. I would really encourage, I had somebody do this probably 2 years ago. They did it exactly this way. Something was bothering them. They took it home. Probably 4 or 5 days later, they made an appointment. They came in and they sat in my office. So we're face to face, and they read it. They read what they wrote. And it was very good. It was, mm-hmm. it was beautiful. It was peaceful. I could see that they had really spent time with this, and I took it to heart. I took mm-hmm. it to heart, and I was grateful that they did. There were some things of like, okay, yeah, I know you're right. I never noticed that I did that. So with doing it first and foremost with charity, that has to be number one. Do not do it anonymously. It doesn't happen very often, but anonymous anything is deeply harmful to the people that are getting it, because you don't know. You don't, I mean, so maybe it's a good and valid criticism, but who's it coming from? So the anonymous route is, I think, is a coward's way out. Mm-hmm. I think as men, that's not the way
mm-hmm.
we ought to go. There's also other avenues in the parish. You know, maybe there's a parish council. Maybe like, you know, the pastor's like secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, somebody else on the staff, you might run it by them first, a deacon or associate pastor, just to kind of get their take. Hey, this is really bothering me. Is that something that is up, so that's bothering other people? So anyway, you can kind of...
Don't use that as an opportunity to gossip.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think there's a fine line there.
Yeah.
But I think to get advice of, am I
Am I coming from the right angle?
Am I in the right here? Did I hear what I thought I heard? Mm-hmm. Did I see what I thought I saw?
Mm-hmm.
So, just doing it with great charity, and then understanding what we just said. You know, understanding where that priest is coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, priests take days off.
Mm-hmm.
Respecting that. Yep. I got a text. This is probably 3 weeks ago, and the text begins, "Hey, Father, I know it's your day off, but," and I'm like, "Oh no, what is going on?" And it wasn't like if somebody says, "I know it's your day off, but," like my grandma died.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's suit up and we're going.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I know it's your day off, but I was really hoping you could, you know, do this, which totally could have waited till for us, our days off are Mondays. And here we are.
On a Monday. You scheduled the date, though.
I did, because I wanted to hang out with you guys.
Right, which I appreciate.
But it wasn't
like me saying, like, "Hey, Father, I know it's your day off, but would you come record?"
I know it's your day off, but I need you to...
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not... I don't consider this... I'm working, but it's not... This is fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, just the kind of respecting those particular boundaries.
And this is good to know, right? This is, like, as a parishioner, it's, like, good to understand, like, okay, how do I understand him better in order to... only build up the church. This is like the whole reason why we're having this conversation.
Yep. I think ultimately, if you are not on air, I'm going to sneeze.
Okay. That's you. May God bless you and have mercy on your soul.
I've never sneezed on live air. This is great. If you are not daily praying for your priests, you're wrong.
Totally.
You gotta do it.
The Pope, the Bishop, your priest.
Yep. And a lot of that is because, you know, priests, the important work that priests do, there's a lot of spiritual attack.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of times when I think of a really good idea and I'm like, "Yeah, we're totally gonna do this and it's really good."
Mm-hmm.
And then like the next day I'm like, "No, don't do that. Everyone's gonna think that's stupid."
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I talk to my spiritual director, or I pray about it, and I'm like, "No, that's not stupid. That's a good idea." Mm-hmm. And those little seeds of doubt come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, the evil one does not want us to do this Eucharistic procession around the church, and we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of spiritual attacks. Priests are, you know, a lot of temptations that come into life. Priests can be tempted just like any other man, but also even like, I mean, priests do it where you're like, maybe that parish would be better. Or, you know, do I want to become a bishop? And I would just, you know, any priest who wants to be a bishop or wants to be the Pope should not be a bishop or the Pope, in my humble opinion. But those little things like kind of creep in, like, people would think so.
Right.
Would think so well of me. Or,
yeah.
Anyway, so really praying for your priests.
Yeah.
Encouraging your spouse to do that, your children to do that, and then tell them. I love it when people like come up and say, "Father, I know you've had like a really hard week. I know we had a couple funerals, and I just want you to know that I'm praying for you." Like, that is just the best.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's so dang encouraging. Or a little email, a little text. "Hey, Father, praying for you."
Yeah.
Gosh, it's great. It's great.
I've tweeted that before. Like, some of the best times that I've ever received a text message was like I was down or I was frustrated or I, you know, was not thinking straight or whatever. And I received a text message from a priest that says, "Hey, just want to let you know, I just offered mass for you," or "I just went to adoration and prayed for you,"
nice.
Or "You've been on my prayers this week. I just want to let you know that."
Yep.
That is such an easy, simple thing to do.
It builds people up.
That, like,
it's
is
awesome.
A game changer.
Yeah, it's awesome.
When I, like, there's a priest who religiously Monday mornings, text message Dave and I and say, "What prayers do you want this week?"
Wow, nice.
Religiously, every Monday.
Yep.
And it's like, it's just a game changer for us. Like, just mentally, just like spiritually, obviously, but, and it's not that hard.
Yep.
It's not a hard thing.
I had
to
a college
do.
Kid right after Mass. I think during Mass sort of looked maybe, I mean, I wasn't particularly like energetic or, you know, was kind of looking maybe a little downcast more than usual.
Yeah.
And this girl walked up, she's like a junior in college, and she just said, she like put her hand on my shoulder and was like, "Father, how can I pray for you today?" And I was just like, "You're the greatest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
It was great. And I said, yeah, I had this morning and this morning and this couple. And then she prayed for me right there. Father, we thank you.
Man.
I was just like, oh, I'm like in tears.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
That's awesome.
That's so encouraging to your priests. I just encourage you, even if you don't know him that well, that can be a real bonding point.
Mm-hmm.
To walk up to a priest you don't know. Father, I know you're new to the parish. You know, I'm Adam, and this is my family. And I want you to know that we pray for you every day. Like,
yeah.
That priest is going to remember your family. They better.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Father.
Yeah, please. Juan.
Is that the...
I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know what happened.
Ah, that was segment 3. This is segment 4. I was not losing my mind. Yeah. See? Yeah.
But why didn't it come on?
Because you muted it.
I didn't.
Oh, well, I don't know. But that was segment 4. So
yeah.
I was right. Jim, high five.
Whoa.
Something is happening. I don't know what is it. But anyway, Father, I had a question for you. When thinking about how to understand your priest better, I was thinking about in the homilies, sometimes I noticed that, you know, a priest would go for like an appeal to the emotion or the intellect, you know, the ethos, pathos,
sure,
logos. So like, how do you discern as a priest how to aim one particular homily?
Yeah, it's so hard. Really, preaching well in a parish is really hard. You know, I came from a high school setting where it was a lot easier. Everyone in the room is 14 to 18. Like, so typically all 14 to 18 year olds have similar, you know, similar lives, similar issues. But, you know, what do you do in the parish when it's babies to, you know, we have a lady in our parish who's 98 years old. She's way holy.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. And everybody in between, you know, newcomers. You know, I think sometimes I get a little bit of feedback sometimes from my more really like well catechized parishioners, but maybe a little more traditional parishioners who want more in my homilies. They want more catechism, more doctors of the church, more of that. Because I usually don't do that. And part of it is, in my mind, I mean, our goal is to evangelize Penn County. And I know in every Mass, there are new people. We have people every single week who have either never been to Mass or have not been to Mass in a really long time. I tend to, for better or for worse, want to preach to them more than the people that are really well catechized. So,
but you do a good job of to support the people who are well catechized
in other ways.
Like
in other ways, that's where the podcast comes in. That's where
your catechism classes
that
you do.
We do things in between. Yeah,
like so your summer catechism classes that you do. You know, where you walk through the catechism.
Yep.
Like those are the kind of things that, because I don't want other people to think like, well, you can't neglect these guys for these guys. Like that's why as a father, like you can't neglect your oldest for your youngest. You have to help, you know, you have to help enrich all of them. And that's why I think you do personally a really good job of that, is making sure of, yeah, okay, maybe the homily isn't for the very extremely well catechized this time, but you know what, on Wednesdays we walk through the catechism.
But we just did a podcast on salvation history.
Right, and we took a deep dive on X, Y, or Z.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
So I am still reaching out to you. I'm not forgetting you.
And I think there, we know what we learn in seminary is like there's lots of different ways to preach. I mean, so there is the Sunday homily is mm-hmm. is key, but there are when you teach what you put out via, you know, social media. There's all kinds of different ways to get good information to people. But anyway, so to that, I mean, one, I think it's, I tend to be more, somebody said, like, your homilies are like spiritual pep talks. And I said, thank you. Like, that's kind of what I'm trying to encourage, trying to rouse people from sleep to action, to prayer, to charity. And so I tend to be less catechetical and more, I don't know what the word is, evangelical, more What would be the word? I don't even know. Just more. Let's go. Let's go. We got work to do. Come on. And that's not every priest. I mean, I know a lot of priests who preach very well and preach very catechetically. My mission, though, we try to like not use in our, especially in homilies, like a lot of insider language. So there's big words that like only if I say like so the this week I want to talk about the economy of salvation. So just right there, there are a few people in the church who know what that is. There's some people who could figure it out, and then there's a bunch of people who are going to be like, I'm out.
Right.
So that's hard. It's hard to kind of try to reach all audiences. Easier said than done. What's happened a lot with young priests, it's funny, is they, you come out of seminary and you like want to say everything, like week one.
Right.
And it's like, dude,
I just learned a bunch of stuff. Let me tell you about it.
It's like, my man, you're going to get to preach your whole life. Spread it out. Spread it out. You don't have to say it all at your first parish in the first month. Take it down a notch.
Yeah.
So you love the zeal, you know, but that's where you get it. You know, they preach for 30 minutes or so, and you're like, okay, easy, fella.
Come on.
Settle down. Land the plane.
So do you think that it's a good idea, like, because we have quite a few priests, for better or worse, that listen to this show, that
nice.
Know nothing.
Hello, my brethren.
And, like, know now a little bit. do you think it's a good idea to also communicate to your parishioners if you are having a bad day or if you are off a little bit? Because I know when I was listening to you say, like, you don't know where the priest comes from or has been. I'm sure that's happened to me, but it's also on the receiving end of this. Very frustrating, right? Because as a dad, it's like, listen, I just went to work, then I came home, and then I sacrificed time away from my family to help and support the church and help and support you, and I'm not getting any feedback from you.
And you didn't return my email.
Yeah, or like, you haven't done it. Like, I feel like that I'm constantly putting in, and I don't feel like you're returning.
Yeah.
If you are having a bad day, or if you are, you know, just on the struggle bus for whatever reason, is that a good thing to do? Is just to, like, to tell, like, hey, listen, man, I'm just not on my game today.
I would say that. I would say that to someone, or like, you know, hey, this has been a really busy week. You know, somebody calls me on Wednesday and says, hey, can I come and talk to you? I feel comfortable enough with most people saying, you know, this. I can't tell you everything, but like, you know, it's been a pretty overwhelming week. Would you mind if we visited like on Tuesday? Most people get that.
Yeah. Well, and again, if we're trying to understand our parish priest communication as a communication director of the diocese, communication is key.
You better be good.
Right? Like I want to know where you're coming from. If you're struggling, it's also the humanity part of being a priest. You telling me, hey, this just isn't a good week.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. Yep. Well, that's fine. I can now.
When would be a good time? Or can I?
Right.
But a lot of times we'll just say, yeah, can I call you next week?
But as a parishioner, if you feel like that you're giving and not, you don't feel like the priest is doing the same amount of work or effort, even if they are
in reality. Yeah, that's definitely frustrating. So I think to my brother priest, I mean, are we effectively communicating, or do we just like give our people the silent treatment? Which we know, doesn't work in marriages, and so also doesn't work. Also doesn't work in parishes. To communicate, you know. So I've just like right now, my uncle Ozzy up in Boston is in hospice. You know, is dying, and kind of has been for the last couple months. And I send out a weekly email to my people every Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, shows up in your inbox if you want it. I'll share that, like, hey, oh, by the way, and part of that, I'm kind of setting them up for like, I'm going to go away for 3 or 4 days to go be with my family and celebrate his funeral.
Right.
But if we're a family, I mean, we talk about the parish as a family, we ought to be able to, I mean, priests, we ought to be able to be, our people don't need to know everything. You know, we're not
but at least a little vulnerable, or at least a little bit of,
but
like,
to say, I do it more at like a daily mass. You kind of know those people better. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of your prayer warriors. You know, we have awesome people all around, but like the daily mass people are just like, they're rock stars. I love them. I'm more likely to say it there, mm-hmm. of, Hey, would you pray for, you know, right after Mass, I just got a call before Mass, right after Mass, I need to go right out the door. I need to go to the hospital to anoint someone. Would you please pray for them? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things, because we really are. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. So that I think among priests there that we have to have a certain vulnerability with our people. I guess one other thing I'll say is kind of expectations. You know, I think we all have expectations of each other, expectations of our priest, and just to really manage those knowing the kind of the capacities of your priest. Maybe your priest is in over his head. Mm-hmm. Maybe your diocese like stinks at vocations. And so I was with a priest recently, not in this diocese, different diocese. And he has 1600 families and it's just him. Like your parish, St. Benedict's is, mm-hmm. 14, 15, 1600 and two priests. My parish is 900 families and two priests. Mm-hmm. Like we're so blessed. Mm-hmm. He is he's totally overwhelmed. And so if you invite him to dinner, I don't think he's coming.
Yeah.
Because he's so dang tired at the end of the day. So managing those expectations of your priests, is he in over his head? And if he is, can you help him? Sometimes priest's assignments are not always, they're not always a good fit. Not because somebody did something wrong, because maybe you don't have enough priests. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing on the vocation side? Are you encouraging your own kids and grandkids to think about priesthood? I think that's something that we can all do. Just that mercy for each other, that we're human, we mess up. But picture your priest going to confession. I think is very helpful. It humanizes it.
It's just it's not even something I can even picture almost.
Yeah, like a lot of people are like, "What, you go to confession?" I'm like, "Yeah, yes, I'm a miserable sinner, man. Bring it on."
Yeah.
So anyway, lots of things to work on, but just that idea, we're in this together. I mean, if your parish is going to grow, it needs your priest certainly on board and you.
Right.
What are you doing to support the priest, the staff to make it go?
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with me tonight.
This was awesome.
On your day off.
I'm telling you. It was great. I mean, a lot of times I come to Tulsa on my day off and see people and go to the doctor.
Whatever you got to do.
Eat Vietnamese food. We have no Vietnamese food in Stillwater. It's a tragedy. I know. We all have our crosses
pho.
To bear, and that's one of them.
Pho.
There's no Vietnamese food in Stillwater. It's ridiculous.
Haley, last time he came in, made...
She made pho, and it was awesome.
Yeah. She was going to make it tonight, and she was like...
Dinner tonight was also awesome.
She's like, I just don't have the time to make pho. And I was like, you know what? One thing about Father Brian O'Brien, he has mercy.
Yeah.
One thing about Father Brian O'Brien, he'll eat it.
He likes food.
Well, as we all do. Pastors of Pain is where they can find you weekly.
Yep, St. Francis Xavier, Stillwater. If you're ever in and around, come see us. Mm-hmm. And then we're on social media, SFX_Stillwater on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Sweet. All right. Well, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers. Cheers to Jesus.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.